Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Kuf Chaf Beis, and we are 15 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, the two dots, Val Akrov Shaloi Tishach. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema. For Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Rav David ben Shimma, Avram ben Gittel, Shoshana bas Esther Bela, Meir ben Chanala, Avram Kaddish ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekasil ben Gittel, Chana Gittel bas Brindel, Rafal Chaim Shayosha ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Tzvi ben Hinda, Yudaleb Chiskiyo ben Basya, Chaim ben Yama Mordechai ben Ida, Chiskiyo Shloim Aziskin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, Rav Chaim Doiv ben Krindel, Shoshana Tova bas Esther, Michal Shoshana bas Tova Adasa, and Chavisero bas Chana Freda. Today's daf is also being learned. Le'ilui Nishmas, Rina Kayla Fredel, Bas Rabbi Yosef Halevi, Yechiel Yosef Ben Tzvi Betzal, Shloim Mezeb Ben Avram Yitzchak, and Mordechai Ziskin Ben Meir Elchana. So the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Kufchav Aleph Amid Aleph said, Koifin Ka'ar Al Gabi Haner, which is the context of Perek Kol Kisvei. One is allowed to take a plate, a bowl, put it on top of a candle, the Shvil Shaloi Techo is Bekoira, so that the Ner won't give off a spark that will maybe catch a beam and cause damage. Additionally, you're allowed to take a kara and cover tsoya of a tarnagoilus, as the Gemara clarified, to prevent a katan from playing with it. Additionally, you're allowed to take a kara, put it on top of a scorpion if you're afraid that the scorpion may bite. On that note, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol HaMazikin Neherogim B'Shabbos, you're allowed to kill any animal, any creature that you think may be mazik on Shabbos. Now, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's statement in a vacuum is a very big chiddush, because one of the lamites melachos is shoychet. One of the lamites melachos is netilas neshama. You're not allowed to kill a person. You're not allowed to kill an animal. You're not allowed to kill shkatzim v'ramasim. You're not allowed to take any living organism's life away from it on Shabbos. So how could Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say kol hamazikin nerogim b'Shabbos? Now, if it's pekuach nefesh, that would make sense. And in fact, that will be the maskanas ha-Gemara. But initially, the Gemara doesn't think so. And the Gemara thinks that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was simply saying that a person is allowed to kill something that he's a little bit afraid of. And the Hezber is, the way the Rishonim explain it, is that if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is potter, meaning a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is not an issa d'iraisa, then you can hear what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi may be saying. And that is that even though it's usher to kill an animal, if you're afraid of it, even when it's not pekuach nefesh, but at the same time, it's going to be an issa d'rabbanan, because being that you're not killing the animal because you want the positive outcome of the fact that you killed this animal, you're doing it for defensive purposes because it's a mazik, so it's a malacha shein tzricha leguf. All it is asa midrabbanan. If that's the case, b'makom hezeh, you can argue that maybe a malacha shein tzricha leguf is going to be mutter. So on that note, meaning with that understanding, there are Yeshua Ben Levi said his shita not where it was pekuach nefesh, but rather according to Rav Shimon, it's a malachim chein tzricha legufa. It's only asim midrabanan. So in the event that there's a question of mazik, maybe a dimotam. Asr Rav Yosef Chamisha Nerogim b'Shabbos. He asked the question for the following brayso. There are five creatures that you're allowed to kill on Shabbos. Ve'elohein zvuv sheberetz Mitzrayim. You're allowed to kill a fly in Mitzrayim. Ve'tzira shebe ninve. Ve'akrev shebe chadiyav. Ve'nachash a snake in Eretz Yisrael. Ve'kelav shoyte b'chal mokim. And a kelav shoyte you're always allowed to kill. Says the Gramani. Who is the tan of this price? Elim Rabbi Yehuda. Is it Rabbi Yehuda? I'm a malacha shein tzricha legufa chayvala. There's no way Rabbi Yehuda would allow you to go ahead and kill these five creatures. Again, we're assuming it's not pekoach nefesh. Because if it's pekoach nefesh, you can kill anything. You could do any malacha. So probably it's not pekoach nefesh. If that's the case, it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a regular malacha midday raisa. Why would you be allowed to kill these creatures? Violate Chil Shabbos Midday Raisa if there's no issue of Sakonas Nefashis. El Rav Shimon. So probably the Brais is going according to Rav Shimon, who holds that a Malacha Shein Etzricha Legufa is Potter, albeit Asa Midrabanon, and being that that's the case, the Chachamim found areas where you could be Mekel, being that all you're doing anyways is an Issa D'Rabbanan. But what do you see from this Braisa, said Rabbi Yosef? Fahani hu deshari. It's only these five that are mutter to kill. But achrini loy. But others you're not allowed to kill. And if that's the case, it's not like Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Because Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, kol hamazikin nerogim b'Shabbos, and said Rabbi Yosef, I have a mefurish Braisa, which says only some you're allowed to kill on Shabbos. But you're not allowed to kill all mazikin on Shabbos. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, uman ne'malon, daham matratztahi. So Rabbi Yirmiyah heard Rabbi Yosef's kasha on Rabbi Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And Rabbi Yirmi asked Rabbi Yosef, maybe this brisa that you just quoted is not a real brisa, meaning Dilma Meshabeshti. Maybe it's a flawed brisa, and as a result, you can't ask from it. Rabbi Yosef said, I know this brisa. I've asked questions on this brisa. And I could be miyashiv. The point is, I know this is a real brisa. So if that's the case, how do you answer this kasha? Incidentally, Rabbi Yosef, the Gemara says, was a Sinai. Rabbi Yosef was bucky in all the brises. He knew all the Mishnayos. So this is Rabbi Yosef the Sinai talking. He said, I know masninola, I know pshan in this brisa, and don't worry about this kasha. I have a teretz to this kasha. Household baratza acharav v'divrei akol. Meaning, when Rabbi Shulben Levi said kol mazikin erog v'shabes, he wasn't talking about a situation that was not sakonas nefashes. Aliba de Rab Shimon that holds a malacha shein etzricha legufa is only an issa de rabbanon, and in that case you're allowed to kill any animal that's a quote unquote mazik. No, Rabbi Shulben Levi said is halacha l'divrei akol. He was going even according to Rabbi Yehuda that holds a malacha shein etzricha legufa schayef, and it's talking about where this creature is ratzu acharav. It's running after him, meaning this person's running for his life. In that case, you kill him because it's a question of pekuach nefashes. What would be the halacha if it wasn't b'koach nefesh? Oh, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would always be aser to kill a mazik, because Rabbi Yehuda holds malacha shein yitzricha leguf eschayev. So even though you're killing it not because you want an avela, you're killing it for defensive purposes, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't care. It's still chil Shabbos midei raisa. There's no makom to be makel for a chil Shabbos midei raisa. According to Rabbi Shimon, who holds malacha shein yitzricha leguf is potter, it's only aser to Rabbanon. That's Rabbi Yosef's price. So there's five neherogim b'Shabbos, but other than that, you would never be able to kill anyone on Shabbos. On that note, Tanika made the Rava by Rafuna. So Atana said over a Braisa in the presence of Rava, the son of Rafuna. If somebody kills a Nachash or an Akrav, a snake or a scorpion on Shabbos, ain't Ruach Hasidim Noicheh Menu. The Hasidim are not going to be happy with him. Why not? Because why are you killing this creature? And certainly on Shabbos. It's a shayla of tzar balichayim. It's not an appropriate thing to do. And it's for that reason the chassidim said this Tana would not be happening with this person. Amalei, so Rav Bar Rafuna told this Tana, I hold fakert. The oison chassidim, those chassidim that you're quoting, I don't know who they are, but those chassidim that you're saying would not be happy, they would be disappointed if someone went ahead and killed a nachash and an akrav on Shabbos, as it relates to their opinion, ein ruach hachamim noichem mehem. So it could be the chassidim feel this way, but the chachamim don't feel that way, because at the end of the day, the chassidim are wrong, because if you have a mazik, you have to kill the mazik. The Gemara says, u'pliga de Rav Huna, this comment of Rabba by Rav Huna is not like Rav Huna. Rav Huna chazila hu gavad katok zibura. Rav Huna saw a person kill a zibura, a weasel on Shabbos. Amalei, he told him, shlam tinu lukulu, tell me there's no more ziburas anymore, you killed all of them? Meaning at this point you have nothing to worry about. He was trying to say, what did you accomplish by going ahead and killing this zibura? There's more where they came from. And as a result, being that you can wipe out all of these ziburas, quote unquote. So if that's the case, you shouldn't have done what you did. So you see from here this idea that it's a shiloh. Some held that it is the right thing to do, some held it's not the right thing to do. This is certainly reminiscent of some of the raid that we spoke at recently in Eben Ezra Simon Hay, where there's an idea that even though there's a nisa tzar balichayim, but litzayrich, whether it's for a fool or for some other necessity, you are allowed to be mitzayir an animal. You're allowed to pluck a feather out of an animal, for example, even though it's going to cause him a little bit of pain. But then the Ramah said that there's a minute midas chasidus, there's an idea not to do it. Either way, this gemara right here is a little bit of a makar to that whole shmooze that we spoke about. Tanu Rabban, Azam, Nechashim HaKrabim. If somebody had an encounter with Nechashim HaKrabim, so said the Braisa as follows. Hargan, if this person was successful to kill the nachash of the akrab, biyaduashid is damnu loy lahargan. This is a good sign. It's a good omen. It's a simin yafa. So this is a little bit of nichush as it relates to someone that encounters a nachash. I mean, this is a good sign. The fact that you went and you killed it, so you did something very good because you removed this detriment from the world. Loy hargan. What if someone has an encounter with a nachash or an akrav and he didn't kill it? Then biyaduashid is damnu lahargoy v'nasalei nes min hashamayim. Again, a little bit of nichush from the nachash. But here, the punchline, the takeaway is something else. Not that, oh, you're so chashuv that Hashem gave you the opportunity to kill this nachash. Hashem gave you the opportunity to kill this akrav. But rather, the takeaway is something else. That you're lucky. Hashem performed a miracle for you, and you know you have to appreciate appreciate in the hair what just happened. Omar Ulu Vitemi Rabbi Barbachano, I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Ishoy from Bay. Ula said, I heard all tracing itself back to Rabbi Yochanan. This is only true if the snake was hissing. I mean, it was really after the person, but if it wasn't after the person, then all these omens that we just mentioned are not applicable. Omar Rabbi Barbachano, Pamachas Nofa, Lacha Base Medrash. A Nachash once fell into a base medrash. The Omar Nevasi Yechad, there was a person that came from this place, the Hargayan killed it. Omar Rebbe, so Rebbe was there. And Rebbe commented, Paga boy Kayoitza boy. This Nachash met its match. So the Gemara says, what did Rebbe mean? Paga by Kayoitza by the Shapra of it. He meant to say that he did a good thing, meaning this Nachash was a Roidev, and the Nerdev turned around. Hashkin Vahargoy, he did something good. Oiloy, maybe no, to the contrary. Just like this Nachash is a Mazik, he was saying this person was also a Mazik. The Nachash is not a good person or a good creature. So what he was saying, Rebbe, was Pogabay Kayoitzbay, that this person is essentially acting like the Nachash. So what did Rebbe mean? Did Rebbe approve or did he disapprove? Tashman, Rabbi Abba Bered, Rabbi Chiba, Rabbi Zeh, Rabbi Yasvi, Akil, Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Abba Bered, Rabbi Chiba, Rabbi, and Rabbi Zeh, they were once sitting on Rabbi Yanai's porch. Nothing, Milsa Benai, they started having a schmooze and learning. Boom, my name is Rabbi Yanai, and they asked Rabbi Yanai the following question. Are you allowed to kill a Nachash and an Akrev on Shabbos? So ordinarily, of course, the answer would be no. Because even if you're like Rav Shimon, that it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa, but still, you don't go lechatchila and do a malacha shein tzricha legufa. It's at the very least asa midrabanan. But the question was, being that a nachash and an akriv are mazikin, that's the context of the sugi that we're learning. So maybe you'd be muta. Amalusi told him, tzira ani hoirig. I would kill even a tzira, which isn't so dangerous. Nachash v'akriv lekoshka. I certainly would kill a nachash and an akriv. But the Gemara says, dilma lefitumai. You can't bring a raya from what Rabbi Yanai said, because maybe they were discussing something else. Maybe they were discussing the fitumai. So what does the fitumai mean? So you have this sprach in the world of Nashim and Ezekin. There's something called a masiach lefitumai, where somebody slips something in or says something without really intending to say it. We usually assume that thing is true. So even people that apostle the Eidos, like an Eini Yehudi, but masiach lefitumai, when it comes to Eidos Isha, for example, there are times where we would be mekel. So the Gemara says that maybe this exchange that happened with Rab Abba Breid, Rab Chiba, Rab and Rab Zeira on the porch of Rav Yanai, where they were discussing that you can kill a Nachash and an Akrev and a Tzira. We want to bring a riot from here that you see it's okay to kill the Nachash, even on Shabbos. But maybe that was because maybe they were discussing where somebody was walking, the Nachash happened to have been there, so he steps on the Nachash, even though he doesn't knowingly, meaning it's not something that happened out of his control, but it's lefituma in the sense that he doesn't have to walk out of the way. Maybe there it's a little bit different, but to go out of your way to kill the Nachash, maybe that's different. And that was what happened with that story, with the Nevasi Echad in the presence of Rebbe. So at the end of the day, the Gemara says, I don't think you can prove from this Tashma anything as it relates to Rebbe's story, because Rebbe's story was with a person picked a fight with the Nachash. Here, no one picked a fight. You were walking. The Nachash happened to have been there. So instead of walking away, you stepped on it. So this was Lafi Tumai, quote unquote. So maybe it's different. So where do you see? What's the precedence for this idea of Lafi Tumai? Amar Rav Yehuda. Roik, Darsa Lafi Tumai. So there's a halacha that you're not allowed to step on Roik on Shabbos. If there's Roik, spit on the ground, you can't step on it. The reason is because you may be Mashve Gumais, because maybe there's going to be a hole in the ground. And by you stepping on the Roik, you're going to now fill that hole. We know that's Baina. That could be problematic. But still, Rabbi Yehuda said that if a person's walking and he sees Roik, he doesn't have to sidestep the Roik. He can walk on top of it, and it's fine. As long as he does a Lefitumai. If I'm Rav Sheishas, Nachash Darsa Lefitumai. Rav Sheishas said it specifically regarding a Nachash, that you're allowed to step on a Nachash, Lefitumai. If I'm Rav Katina, Akriv Darsa Lefitumai. Bottom line is, you see that there's a concept of Lefitumai, and it could be that exchange was Lefitumai. Thus, it's not a riot to what happened in the Beis Medrash when Rebbe was there. On this note, the note of stepping on Roik Lefi Tumai, Abba Bar Marta, the Hu Abba Bar Menyumi, Havi Maski Bey, the Bey Reish Kaluzo Zuzi. So Abba Bar Marta, also known as Abba Bar Menyumi, presumably his mother was Marta and his father was Menyumi. But Kitzer, he owed money to the Reish Kalusa. Isua Kometzara Lei. So the Reish Kalusa picked him up one day and they started interrogating him, old school. They tried getting him to pay the loan that he owed. Havashadi Ruka, as they're being Mitzayer him, there was Reich. There was spittle on the floor. Amalu Reish Kalusa, Aisu Mana, Schifu Ilave. So it sounds like this is all happening on Shabbos. So the Reish Kalusa turns to one of his Gaboyim and he said, or actually he told it to Abba Bar Marta, to Abba Bar Menyumi. He says, take a Keli, take a a mana and pick it up. Amalusa, he told him, Laitzrichisu, you don't have to do that. I mean, if you want, you could just rub it into the ground. Hachi Amrab Yehuda, right, Darsa Lefitum. Meaning they assumed that you couldn't pick it up. It was muksa. So this is something that they were worried about. But in terms of going and dealing with Abba Bar Marta, do Abba Bar Yumi, that apparently they weren't so concerned about. But the bottom line is they told him, oh, will you go now and remove this Reich? So he says, what for? Just step on it. Amaluhu. So the Reish Kalusa told him, Tsurbi Mirabana? Oh, I didn't know you know how to learn. Oh, you're Tsurbi Mirabana Shafku. And they let him go. Amarab Abba Bar Kahana, Rab Chanina, Pmuta is Shalbeis Rebbe, Mutar Litaltalam B'Shabbos. So we just mentioned Rab Abba Bar Kahana, who told the story that once upon a time a Nachash appeared in the Beis Medrash, Rebbe was there, and some fellow, a Nevasi, got up and killed it, a holy bias. So we're going to mention more things that Rab Abba Bar Kahana said, unrelated. Pamuta Shalbeis Rebbe, the candelabras of Rebbe's house, Mutal Taltalam B'Shabbos. So we know Rebbe was the Nasi. Rebbe was also very wealthy. He was Torah V'Gdula B'Mokam Echad. The Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, as in Rebbe and Rav Ashi. So Rebbe, his candelabras, which were very big, Mutal Taltalam B'Shabbos. The halach is, you're allowed to carry it on Shabbos. And this is a chiddush for two reasons. There's a muktzah chiddush. Additionally, it's a chiddush that we're not afraid that maybe it's going to break and you may come to put it back together. The Gemara discussed this already in somewhat detail in Perikira. So Rav Abba Bar Kahana said in the name of Rav Chanino that these pemutos of Beis Rebbe, you're allowed to carry on Shabbos. Amalei Rav Zeir, Benitom B'yodei Achaz B'shtei Yadayim. Is this true only for the ones that you're allowed to carry with one hand? Or is this true for even the heavier ones, the ones that you need two hands to carry? The assumption was that maybe if you need two hands to carry it, maybe that's really muktza. You never had a mind to move it. As a result, you wouldn't be able to. Amalei, so he told him, Kaisen Shabbos Beis Avicha. So he told him back, this is Rav Abba Bar Kahana talking to Rav Zeir. He said, like the ones in your father's house. So who was Rav Zeir's father? And what kind of candelabras did he have in his house? Top Rashi. The Ketanoi saw you. They were small. Aval G'doylas Adam Kaveh Lehem Mokim. And as a result, it's going to be Mukta. Another story. Similar. Amar Rav Abba Bar Kahana, Rav Chanino. Again, Rav Abba Bar Kahana is talking. Again, in the name of Rav Chanino. Kroin Shabbos Rebbe, the wagons of Rebbe's house. Mutal Talfon B'Shabbos. Amar Rav Zeir. Again, it's Rav Zeir. Ben Yitom Badam Echad Rebbe Shnei B'Yadam. Only if you can carry with one person, or even if you need two people to carry it. Same answer. So Rav Abba Kahana told him, like the ones from your father, again, the small ones. Rav Abba Bar Kahana, Hitta Lehem Rav Chanino, Lebeis Rebbe. One more thing that Rav Abba Kahana said in the name of Rav Chanino, also related to Rebbe. That Rebbe was matter in his family, that if anybody brought wine, even if it had only one chaysan, it had one seal. So this is related to sugyas of Stam Yenom and Yayin Esech. The Gemara is in the end of Mesechtes Avodah Zarah. He allowed them to drink it. And Rav Abba Kahana said, V'lo yadana, but I'm not sure. Is it because he holds like Rebbe Eliezer? Rebbe Eliezer Shita, Rashi says in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Aleph, that Yayin Mutter B'choysem Echad. Is that the reason? Because all you ever need for wine to make sure it's protected and it wasn't touched and defiled is one chayisim, or imishum emesa de benesiyah. Being that Rebbe was the Nasi and Rebbe had close ties with the Roman government, Marcus Aurelius, Antoninus, so maybe people would be afraid to tamper with anything that belonged to Rebbe. So it could be ordinarily, if you're going to send wine with an Eini Yehudi, maybe you would need two chaysamis. Not like Rebbe Eliezer who holds chaysam echad. Maybe two chaysamis. Why over here would one chaysam be enough? Could be mishum emes of the beinasiya. Over here, one chaysam would be enough. Vaiter nachri shehidlik esaner. So the previous Mishnah, actually the top Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amen Aleph, we spoke about is an epic Mishnah. It's four lines, but hafeichba v'hafeichba the kulaba. You have the halacha of Amir La'akum, the halacha of Katan, Oichel Neveilois, Bez de Mitzvah Lehafrisha, or Ein Bez de Mitzvah Lehafrisha. Either way, this next Mishnah is going to continue on that theme, the theme of Amir La'akum. And it's important to know, there's two halachas of Amir La'akum. One is well known, the other one not as well known. The one that's well known is that you're not allowed to tell an Eini Yehudi, you can't tell a non-Jew to do malacha if you're on Shabbos. Even though the guy is not mitzvah on Shabbos, even though there's no shlichus, it's certainly not an Issa Deiraisa, but at the same time, the Chachamim were geyser, it's a shvus, it's an Issa Derabanan, you're not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do malacha. This morning we mentioned Rashi and Avodah Zarah, Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, where Rashi says, why not? V'daber dover, and it's because of v'daber dover, you're not even allowed to talk about doing malacha. This is another Rashi that we reference at the very, very end of the Shia, the beginning of Perek Mishnah Ichshech, We spoke a little bit about that, but this is the other halacha, the lesser known halacha, and that is that not only can't you tell an Ein Yehudi to do malacha for you on Shabbos, but if an Ein Yehudi does malacha on your behalf on Shabbos, you never told him to do it. You can't benefit from it. You can't have any hanah from it. So if a guy does malacha for himself, then you could benefit from it. But if he does it for you, or he added a little bit to the malacha on your behalf, so then the halacha is, you can't have aner. If a guy was madlik aner on Shabbos, mishtamish lo'oyre Yisrael, a yid is allowed to use the ar, assuming he did it for himself, so you can benefit from it. If he did it for the yid, if a guy filled up a well with water to give to his water, or he took water from a well and he wants to now be mashkiz behema, so Yisrael is allowed to benefit from that water, the Imbish for Israel, but if he did it for the Israel, also it's going to be also. Nachri kevish leirid boy. If a yid and a nachri, they were on a ship, and they are getting off the ship on Shabbos, which in and of itself poses major halachic issues, the sugi mesechtes erivin, because you have tchumen problems. Assuming the ship arrived on Shabbos, you can have a tchum problem. But forget the tchum problem, now they need a ramp to get off. So the nachri went and he built the ramp so he can get from the sfina off. So the halacha is again, if the nachri makes it, the yid is allowed to use it. Yerid achra of Yisrael. But for imbish fil Yisrael, if he did it for the Yisrael, also it's going to be awesome. Meis Rabbi Gamliel v'skenim, shayboim v'sfina, for also nachri, Rabbi Gamliel and the skenim, they once arrived on Shabbos, on a sfina, and a nachri made a kevish lay rabbi v'yardabai, Rabbi Gamliel v'skenim, Rabbi Gamliel and the skenim, they all got off that boat. So the Mishnah essentially said one halacha and gave three examples of it. The halacha is that if a guy does malacha for himself on Shabbos, a yid can benefit from it. If a guy does malacha for the yid on Shabbos, then the yid is not allowed to benefit from it. The Mishnah gave three examples of it. The first example was if a guy is madlik aner on Shabbos, so even though hadlaka, havara, is one of the lamites malachos, but if he did it for himself, the yid can benefit from it. If he did it for the yid, then it's not going to be okay. The second example is if a guy goes and he fills up a bucket of water from a well. What's the malacha? So the malacha is hitzah, because the well, assuming is a rishus hayachid, and now if it's 10 tefachim deep and it's 4 tefachim, so it's a rishus hayachid, he took the water from the rishus hayachid, now he's being mashke his behemoth, so he did hitzah. So again, if he did it for the yid, it's a problem. If he didn't do it for the yid, it's not going to be a problem. And then finally, if they're emerging from a boat together and the guy built the ramp, what's the malacha? Baina, he built the ramp. So if he did it for himself, the yid can benefit from it. If he did it for the yid, then it's not going to be okay. So the Gemara says, v'tzricha, we need all three examples. The Yeshvin and Ner, had we only had example of Ner, Mishum, the Ner, Lech, and Ner, Lameyo, I would think the reason it's mutter is because a Ner is a Ner is a Ner. Meaning, if there's a dark room, you make and you want to light it up, it doesn't matter if there's one person there or 100 people there. You just flip the switch. So it's the same amount of malacha. So being that it's the same amount of malacha, and the guy did it for himself, so in this case, we're going to allow the yid to benefit from it. Avol mayim, but in the case of water, ligazer, maybe we would think that even if the guy did it for himself, still it should be aser for the yid to take any of this water to feed his behemoths, because duma asik lafushi bishvil Yisrael, because maybe there's a gzera that, oh, the guy is going to see, or he knows that a yid can take from it, so maybe he's going to be marba a little bit from the yid. And if he's marba for the yid, now the yid is already benefiting from something that was done for him. So by the ner, there's no marba. You turn this. If a guy turns the lights on for himself, so why shouldn't I be able to benefit from it? What, he was marba for me? There's a gezerah in the future, he'll be marba for me. But when it comes to water, no. The more behemoths there are, the more water you need. So there's a legitimate concern. Okay, the kevesh lama. The Gemara says, why do you need the case of kevesh? I mean, which of the two subcategories would kevesh fall into? Kevesh is like a ner. Just like ner le'echa, ner le'meya, kevesh le'echa, kevesh le'meya. You don't need 100 ramps for 100 people to get off a sfina. You have a single file line and 100 people can get off the same kevesh. You wouldn't need it, so you have the same svar. So again, why did the Mishnah have to tell us that case? So the Gemara says, you want to know? Ma'isa the Rabbi Gamliel v'skeinim kamash bohan. Because the Mishnah had a story and the Mishnah wanted to tell us the story, so we segued, we built up to the story. We presented the case of the kevesh and then we said a ma'isa shahaya kachaya. Right, the Gemara says sometimes ma'isa rav. What does Maisa Rav mean? So Maisa Rav is the sefer that was written by the Talmidei Agra that talk about the Vilna Gaon's Menhagim, but it comes from a Lashon Gemara. Maisa Rav means that a Maisa sometimes has more chashivos. sometimes has more chashivas than a halacha. So sometimes you'll see a psak in the Gemara, but if you can back it up with a story, it actually gives it a higher level of credibility. So the Mishnah wanted to tell the story of Rabbi Gamliel and the Skenim. So just to build it up, we mentioned the third example of this halacha. Tana Rabbana, more on this note. If a Nachri went and he was malakei tasavim, meaning he cut grass to feed his animals. So the halacha is Michael Akrab Yisrael, a Yid is allowed to, after the guy finishes feeding his animals, Yid can go and then he can take some to his animals. If he did it for Yisrael, also. If he went and took water from a well, a Rishos Hayachid, brought it into, let's say, a Rishos Harabim, to give to his behemah, Mashka Akrab Yisrael, the same halacha. If he did it for the Yisrael, also, it's going to be also. So far, the Braisa mentioned two examples of the halacha of the Mishnah. Mishnah gave three examples, Braisa gave two. One of them actually crosses over. One of them is the same. The Braisa was Moisef, an example of Kaitzer. But again, it's all the same difference. But here the Braisa already goes off and continues. But Medvar Mamurim, a very important caveat. This is the fine print that you have to read. She'en makiroi. This is only true if the guy doesn't know the yid. Avo makiroi. But to the extent that he knows the yid, in that case already it's going to be aser. Once he knows him, it's not going to be okay. Rashi says, because kosoka daitach to avinami adaita dide. If the guy knows the yid, then you have to assume that maybe he's doing it for the yid. How could that be? Eini. V'amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, Amar Rav Chani. Then Rav Chani. Ma'am, not mehem te'al gabi. Asavim b'shabes. A person allowed to take his behemoth and let it go out in the field on Shabbos. This is really a very, very big chiddush. We spoke about this earlier in the Masechta. This is a huge chiddush. Why? Because we know there's a halacha called Shvisas Behemoth. Just like you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, your behemoth is not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos either. She says behemoth is an issa deraisa. If you help the behemoth do the malacha, it's a loisase, it's the lav of mechamer. But even if you just allow, the behemoth just does its own thing, and you don't stop it, you don't prevent it from doing its own thing, that in and of itself would constitute an issa deraisa. It's issa shvisa behemoth. If you're going to allow your animal to go out and roam in the field, it's going to tear grass out, because that's what the animal eats, so it's going to do kaitzer, it's one of the lamites malachos. So what happened to shvisa's behemoth? What happened to Shvisas Behemoth? So the truth is, the Mechilta asks this question. Rashi quotes it in Chumash, in Parshas Mishpatim. Tosfos quotes it right here, three lines from the bottom. The second to last Tosfos, in Shabbos Kufcha Beis Amar Aleph, Ki Darshina B'Mechiltin, L'man Yonu Achsharcha B'Chamirecho, Yochol Lo Yanichenu. I would think, that being that there's a mitzvah called Shvisas Behemoth, so don't allow it to be toilish. Lo Yanichenu Oiker. Don't let it do its thing in the field. Tamu Loim L'man Yonuach, Ve'en Zenoyach Elitzar. Unbelievable. At the end of the day, there's the spirit of what Shabbos is all about. The Chasam Sofer that we spoke about this morning in Tshuva Pei Dalet, right? You can't be Mechal Shabbos al Yedei Shlichos. Why not? Because Shabbos is about resting. It's true the Torah says don't do Malacha, but you can't do Malacha and Lamdas on Shabbos. You could be over Yisurei Torah Belamdas, but not on Shabbos, right? At the end of the day, Shabbos is about resting. And if Shabbos is about resting, the animal has to be allowed to rest. If you're going to tell an animal, you can't go out in the field, you can't be toilish, then it's not going to rest. Ein zen noyach elitzar. An unbelievable thing. Why did we mention this earlier in the Masechta? We mentioned the chiddush from the Ur Sameach, Rameir Simcha, where Rameir Simcha asks, really, the Vilna Goyen asks a steer in the Rambam. In one place, the Rambam paskin sar bali chayim as inisad rabbanon. And Hilchas Shabbos in the north, the Rambam paskin sar bali chayim as inisad raisa. We spoke about this. So it's a steer in the Rambam. The Vilna Goyen asks his kasha, and he says, tzorichin on the Rambam, he has a steer on the Rambam. Rameir Simcha, and a classic Rameir Simcha says, it's not a steer, loy kasha. The Rambam that paskin sar bali chayim is only asamid rabbanon, was talking about in all other areas of halacha. Hilchas Shabbos sar bali chayim as the raisa. It's this mechilta. Talmud loyma leman yonuach ve'en ze noyach el etzar, that you see that an animal has a right to rest on Shabbos also, and you can't be mitzar the animal. What does that mean? Tzar bali chayim is an issa deiraisa. This drush is a drush of deiraisa. So said Rav Meir Simcha, it's not a steer in the Rambam. The Rambam holds tzar bali chayim is durabonon. Hilchas Shabbos is a new din. Half of a fellow. Leman yonuach ve'en ze noyach el etzar. Over here is where he holds tzar bali chayim deiraisa. But either way, we digress. Again, what did Rav Huna say in the name of Rav Chanina? The person's allowed to take a behemoth and he's allowed to let it do its thing on top of grass on Shabbos. But it can't be on top of mukta on Shabbos. On top of mukta, that's not going to be okay. So this is a chiddush. So what's an example of mukta? Let's say you had grass, it was attached to the ground on Shabbos, and then it was cut off on Shabbos. That's mukta, because it wasn't prepared from before Shabbos. So the halacha would be, you're not allowed to take an animal and put it on top of the grass on Shabbos, right? It's a little bit of a olam hafach ra'isi, yitziva ba'ara, v'giyori b'shmei shmaya, right? Because you're allowed to allow the animal to go rip grass out of the ground, but it can't be on top of grass, can't eat grass, that's mukta. When he muktzes and it's a derabbanan, pashtus. Toilesh is one of the lametes melachas. But the svari is, he hanoisenes. It's precisely because muktzah is more kuladik that the chachamim were more machmer. You see, the chachamim didn't have a problem allowing an animal to go out in the field. What would be the pshah, the chashash? Maybe you're going to go feed the animal. You're never going to be toilish. No one's toilish. Who's toilish? It's not something that anybody would ever do. But muktzah people may be metalto muktzah. So the chachamim said that I'm not worried about allowing the animal out in the field. But the muktzah I am worried about. What's the kasha? The Gemara said, Amy. We're going back to the braisa. The braisa said that if a goy does malacha for a yid, problem. If he does it for himself, it's not a problem. And the Braisa gave an example that the Mishnah didn't give. Mishnah gave three examples of it. The Braisa gave a fourth example. Nachri shalikeit asovim. A Nachri was malake. He cut grass on Shabbos to feed his animals. If there's leftovers, you can take it. What's the kasha? This grass is muktzah. It's detached grass. What happened to this halacha of a loyal gabi muktzah to Shabbos? You can't be ma'amid of a behemoth. So the Gemara says, no, the kam la bapa, vazlahi va'achlo. Rav Huna's halacha that he said in the name of Chanina was Maimid Adam Behemta Yagabi Asavim B'Shabbos Avalei Yagabi Muktzah. He's talking about taking the behema, physically yanking it by the lapels and putting it on top of the muktzah. That's awesome. That's not what he did over here. Who said that's what he did? All we said is that the yid is allowed to allow his animal to benefit from it. Okay, the karm d'abapa, you can steer it in an indirect way, a tiltum min atzad, so to speak. That's not a problem. Either way, you can't ask a kasha. But freik de gemara, noch a kasha. Amamar. The braisa said, medvar mamur shei makiroi. Ava makiro asa. So we asked the question from the first part of the braisa. We took care of that. And now we're asking a kasha from the second part of the Braisa. The Braisa gave a huge caveat, the fine print to this halacha. And that is the only time a yid's allowed to benefit from something that a guy does is if they don't know each other. But if they know each other, it's going to be awesome. Faith to Gemara. The Mishnah told a story where Rabbi Gamliel and the Skenim benefited from something that this non-Jew did. And the reason was, presumably, because he had done it for himself. He needed a ramp to get off the sphena, just like Rabbi Gamliel and the Skenim did. But Freik de Gemara, Rabbi Gamliel, Makirei have. They just spent time on a ship together. Presumably, they knew each other. So if they knew each other, why was it mutter? It's a kash on the braisa. So Rabbaya. Sabaya said, Shaloi befanav havo. You have to say that when he built the ramp, he hadn't met Rabbi Gamliel yet. Eventually, he probably did meet Rabbi Gamliel, but at that point, he didn't. And being that time that he built the ramp, he hadn't met him yet. So when he did the malacha, it wasn't Makirei. Therefore, it's going to be okay. Rabbi said a different teretz. A fiddle table, maybe it's talking about where it was before. Ner le'echa, ner le'meyo. The only time the Braisa said this caveat, this b'medvar mamurim, that the only time this halach is true if it's in makiroi, that's only true if there's a chashash that maybe he'll be marva. But in the case of a ner, for example, where ner le'echa, ner le'meyo, so there's no concern that he would ever be marva. Over there, even if he's makiroi, you don't have this halacha. Kevesh, like we mentioned earlier, falls into the category of ner. Just like ner le'echa, ner le'meyo, kevesh le'echa, kevesh le'meyo. So over here, this whole caveat is not going to apply. In other words, two terutzim, Abaya and Rava. Abaya's terutz was that it was shaloi b'fanav. Rava said, no, it's nothing to do with b'fanav or shaloi b'fanav, but rather, afilu tema b'fanav. Even if it would be b'fanav and he knows him 100%, still, ner le'echa, ner le'meyo, the gemara, meis ve'akasha. Akasha on Abaya and Rava. Among them, Rabbi Gamliel. We have a braisa where Rabbi Gamliel is talking. Actually, first, Rabbi Gamliel clearly said, so again, the Mishnah very often was mekatzer, where the braisa was a little bit meirich. Right, the Mishnah says things very bekitzer. The Braisas sometimes were marchiv on what the Mishnah said, and then the Amiroim, they went ahead and they added and they were marchiv on what the Braisas even said. So in this Braisa, we have a little more insight into how this all played out on this Sfina that arrives at shore on Shabbos Kodesh. So Rabbi Gamliel turns to the Chevra and says, "Hoyo v'shaloi b'faneinu asoy neiriboy." Being that this happened, shaloi b'faneinu, we can go down. So this is a raya tabaya. It's like Kasha and Rava. Abaya said the reason this was okay is because it was Shalei B'Fanav. The Gemara says, no, Ema, Rava says, I'm not impressed by the Braisa. Ema, Hoyol V'Asoy, Nere, but you can always tweak the Gersa. And if you tweak the Gersa, then it's not going to be a problem. Tashma, Irshi, Yisrael, V'Nachrim, Dar, Mesoich. If you have a city where you have Jews and non-Jews that live side by side, Ba'izab, Merchitz, and there was a base Merchitz, HaMarchetzes B'Shabbos, that operated on Shabbos. So there's a good chance that this Merchitz, which was hot, was heated on Shabbos. The question is now, a yid wants to use this merchatz after Shabbos, meaning on Shabbos, you can't bathe anyways. But what about after Shabbos? So im reiv nachrim, if most of the people that live in the city are nachrim, muta lirchatz b'miyah, you can use it immediately after Shabbos. Im reiv Yisrael, if most of the people in Yisrael, im yamtim b'kdei sheyecham unchamim, that you can use it after Shabbos, but rather you'd have to wait the amount of time that it would take to heat up this merchatz. Now this is based on a halacha that's known as Kedesha Yasu, that permeates really the entire Hilchah Shabbos, which says that any time someone does something on Shabbos that you're not allowed to benefit from, you can't benefit from it immediately after Shabbos. But rather, you would have to wait. There's like a little buffer of time that you have to wait. The amount of time that it would take to actually do that malacha after Shabbos to a point where you'd be able to benefit from it. So let's say somebody cooks on Shabbos. So it takes an hour to cook this food. You want to eat it after Shabbos, assuming you're allowed to. B'shoigig, all the different, you know, variables and permutations as it relates to that halacha. So if you wait an hour after Shabbos, then it would be okay. So that's what this b'raisa says. The b'raisa says, if most of the people in the city are nachrim, then you're allowed to bathe right after Shabbos. If, however, it was Rav Yisraelim, then you have to wait b'kidei sheyechamu. Then you'd have to wait until b'kidei sheyechamu. So what's the kasha? The kasha is, what's the issue over here? What's the issue, l'chura, in this case, this person presumably doesn't know these yidden, right? Doesn't know these yidden. And it was shaloi b'fanav. It's also a situation of ner le'echad, ner le'meya, kevish le'echad, kevish le'meya. And still there's a halacha that if it's Rav Yisraelim, there's a problem, that you can't benefit from it. Meaning, certainly we won't be able to benefit from Shabbos. The reason we're not discussing benefiting from Shabbos is a moot point. You can't benefit from Amerechas on Shabbos anyways. All the examples that we had earlier, going on a ramp, you can go on a ramp on Shabbos, feeding your animals, you're allowed to feed your animals on Shabbos. All the examples that we gave previously were examples of things you are allowed to do on Shabbos. Here we're discussing Matzoi Shabbos, because you can use the bathhouse anyways on Shabbos. But it's the same difference. There's no, it really doesn't matter. The nekuda over here is that we're treating this as something that the yid is not allowed to benefit from. The question is, why can't the yid benefit from it? The guy did it for himself. And even though there is a caveat that the b'raisa said, but at the same time, we qualified it. There was an abaya, there was a rava. And either way you go, whether you go with the abaya route or you go with the rava route, either way, this should be okay. So why are you waiting b'chtei sheyasu or b'chtei sheyechamu? Why can't you benefit from it? Yeah, I mean, how does this price stem with everything we just learned? The guy did it for himself. He doesn't seem to know anybody. It's a situation of kevish le'echad, kevish le'meya, ner le'echad, ner le'meya. So what would be the problem? So the Gemara says you have to say, hasam ki mechamimi adaita deruba mechamimi. No. The point is that if rove of the people that live in the city are Jews, when the guy heats up the merchats, even though he's doing it on Shabbos, and the Jews don't frequent the merchats on Shabbos, but at the end of the day, he has a mind he's doing it for the rove. Oh, he has a mind that he's doing it for the rove, so he specifically had in mind he's doing it for the yidden. Oh, he had a mind he's doing it for the yidden. Then that's easy. Then of course the halacha is not going to be able to use it. The whole b'raisa was discussing, we didn't have a mind you're doing it for the, here you had a mind you're doing it for the tashma. Ner adalik b'mesiba. If there was a ner that was lit in a mesiba, it's on banquet, imrei nachrim mutter l'shamish loyer, and it was lit on Shabbos. If most of the people were nachrim, you're allowed to be mishtamish. And Rav Yisrael, if most of the people were yidden aser, mechza aser. What's the kasha again? Assuming the ner le'echa ner le'meya, the guy did it for himself. Why can't the yidden benefit from it? Someone says hasam nami there too. Ki madliki adaita the ruba madliki. The assumption is that he did it for the rov. So for over the people of Israel, it's assumed that he did it for the yid. Did it for the yid. That's going to be a problem. Shmuel ikvel debay Abin Toiran. Shmuel was once by Abin Toiran. Asa hu nachri adlik shrago. Somebody, a guy came and he lit a light. Adrinu Shmuel la'apay. So Shmuel quickly looked away. He didn't want to look. What did he want? He didn't want to benefit from the ner on Shabbos. Given the chazad ayis ishtar. But then he saw this person came and he sat down with a newspaper. Vikakari. Oh, Amar. He said, adaita denavshe hu da'adik. Shmuel thought he was doing it for him. He says, oh, he lit the fire for himself. Adrinu iu la'apig avishrog. And then he says, then I'm allowed to benefit from it. Hadrin aloch. Kol kisvei exel. So I just thought that we just finished a perek that's loaded with halacha and lumdis and super lumdis, but also a lot of agadata. So just to end on a light note with a little bit of divrei agada, going back to a gemara that was mentioned at the very beginning of the perek, on the bottom of daf kuf tes vav amid beis, on the top of daf kuf tes zayin amid aleph. The gemara said, "Vayehi ben tsoya ha'orim vayoymer moisha parsha zu asala kadosh baruch hu simonios milmala ulamata." The Torah went ahead and the Torah made simonios. What are the simonios? So we mentioned the tshuva from the Marshal, the tshuva from the Noid B'Yehuda, from the tshuva me'ahava. Whether it's just spaces, it's the Nun Hafucha, is the Zayir HaKadosh, Rabbi Yakovka, the son of the Noida B'Yehuda, Rabbi Chaim Sanza, as in the Mekubal of the 18th century. We went into all this right already. But whatever the Simonios are, there are Simonios in the Torah itself, in Parashat Baal Oischa. In the beginning, right before Vayhi Ben Soya Arim Vayoyim Moshe, and right at the end, and right at the end of that parasha. What's the reason for it? So the Tanakam of the Braisa, who the Gemara clarified as Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, said the reason is because it really doesn't belong over here. Because these two psukim, is completely out of context. And it's because of the fact that it's out of context, it's for that reason that the Torah made simoni, is to show that it's at Rebbe Yoimer. Rebbe said, Loimen Hashem, that's not the reason. But rather, the reason is it was lahafsik bein puronios lepuronios. The Torah wanted to make a hefsik. Between what it says right before Vayehi ben Sayyarin and what it says right after Vayehi ben Sayyarin. Because what it says before Vayehi ben Sayyarin was terrible. And what it says after Vayehi ben Sayyarin was also terrible. And the Torah wanted to tell two terrible episodes right after each other. So the Torah had to be mafsik bein peronius leperonius. So it's lahafsik between what it says before and what it says afterwards, that you have these simonios, these nun hafuchos, they're there to be mafsik bein peronius leperonius. So Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and Rebbe, father and son, they both agreed that there's supposed to be simonios in the Sefer Torah. And that's why the Masorah is, even though there's shinuyim in what exactly the simonios are, but there are simonios in the Sefer Torah. But as to the reason for why, that's what there was a machlokes. According to Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, it's loy masha einza mekoyma, and according to Rebbe, it's lahafsik bein peronius leperonius. So the question is, what are these two peronius? We didn't talk about it, we didn't have any time when we learned daf kuf tazayin. What are these two peronius? So the second peronius is easy. The second one is the Torah says, vahi yom ki misoininim rabba oznei Hashem. Torah talks about the misoininim, so we know clearly that there were misoininim. These were yidden, they were complaining. So we know exactly that, vayichar apoi, vatibrabam ish Hashem, vatoichel b'kzeya machne, vayitzakol. This is one of the parashiyos that talk about the averos that the Yidden did when they were in the Midbar. So that's easy. But if you look before Vayehi ben Sayyarin, Vayehi Moshe doesn't seem to be any peronios. What exactly was the peronios? And there's machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos here in Shabbos Kufta Zayin Amar Aleph, and Rashi and the Ramban in their Pirush Al HaTorah. Tosfos in Shabbos Kufta Zayin and the Ramban in Parashas Baal Lo'ischa both quote the same Chazal to say pshat and what the peronius was. If you look two psukim earlier, Vayisu Mehar Hashem, the Yidden was still at Har Sinai, and then they left Har Sinai. Derech Shloishes Yom, Varoim Bris Hashem, they say Lefneim, the Aron was in front of them, because the Yidden couldn't go anywhere without the Aron. It was Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Val Pi Hashem Yisohu. And it was 3 days ahead. Vanan Hashem Aleim Yoimam Benosam in Anachana. Right after, Vayehi ben Sayyarin, Vayehi ben Moshe. It says, Toisvis in our Sugyo, and Ramban is Pirush Al HaTorah. You want to know what that first Avera was? What's so terrible before the Vayehi ben Sayyarin that we have to make sure, don't say that together with Vayehom Kamasayin, Rabbeinu Hashem, Lahav Ben Peronius, that we have this incredible anomaly in all these Sifrei Torah with the Nun. What's it all about? It's because it says Vayisu Me'ar Hashem. Okay, what state in Vayisu Me'ar Hashem? Zog Chazal, when the Yidden left Har Sinai, they left Ketina Kabirech Mebeis HaSefer. They left like a child leaves his classroom when the bell rings. They were so excited. They took their briefcase and they ran. And that was the Taina. It was a Peronius, quote unquote. And the Torah didn't want to mention the words Vayisu Me'ar Hashem Derech Shloishes Yomim, together with Vayehi Ha'om Kamisoinim Rabba Azne Hashem. And it's for that reason there's a hefsik. There's a hefsik between Vayisu Me'ar Hashem Derech Shloishes Yomim and Vayehi Ha'om Kamisoinim Rabba Azne Hashem. The Chasam Sofer in Parshas Baal Lo Yischa, right here on this pasuk, says a dover nifla. And I think it's l'shitasai to a Chasam Sofer that we spoke out not so long ago. He says that at the end of the day, this Chazal bothers me a little bit. Because when you read the pasuk, there's no insight anywhere from the pasuk that Yidden did anything wrong. Vayisu Me'ar Hashem. It says they left Har Hashem. That was the right thing to do. Why was it the right thing to do? Because they did whatever the Anan told them to do. They were led by Anani Yaakovid, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, it's the Anani Yaakovid, Val Pi Hashem Yisoh, it's the Anani Yaakovid. They left, the Pasuk says, because Va'aroim Bris Hashem, Noisei Alefneim, Derech Shloishes Yomim, Va'anan Hashem Aleim, Yoimim Benosam, and Amaz, that's what they were supposed to do. They were given instructions. The instructions were, you're supposed to go. So they didn't do anything wrong. Nor was Chazal were Megala what they were thinking. Meaning, there's one thing to leave, but there's another thing to be happy that you're leaving. And Chazal saw in Vayisu Me'ar Hashem that they didn't just leave. They left Ketina Kabirech Mebeis HaSefer. But the question is, where do you see it in this pasuk? Echateisi. How do you know it was Ketina Kabirech Mebeis HaSefer? Ayin B'chsam Sofer, he has another diktuk in the pasuk as well. But the ikar is his answer. That's the punchline. Says the Chasam Sofer, it's true. Really, the Yidden did everything that we're supposed to do. Meaning the Aron left, so they followed the Aron. The Aron left, they followed the Aron. And based on what they were told, based on the information they were given, that as soon as the Aron leaves, as soon as the Anan leaves, you're supposed to travel. So technically the Yidden, they were following orders and they did what they were supposed to do. But says the Chassam Soif, if the Yidden would have felt such a hava, such a leapshaft for the Torah, had they felt this ahava for Mokim of Har Sinai, had they felt this unbelievable kosher like predaschem when it came time to leaving the Har Hashem, they wouldn't have left. They would have said, you know what, I understand this is what I was told to do, but I'm not going. Said the Chassam Sofer, from the fact that the Yidden left, Chazal knew they left Ketina Kaberech mi Beis HaSefer. It's unbelievable. In Vayisu Mei Har Hashem stayed Ketina Kaberech mi Beis HaSefer. Because if they weren't Ketina Kaberech mi Beis HaSefer, they would have told Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't care, we're not going. I know this is what we're supposed to do, but I don't care, I'm staying anyways. And the fact that they didn't stay, they didn't daven and they didn't fight, the fact that they didn't put up a fight, Zoysoy Meris, it was Ketina Kabireach mi Beis HaSefer. What do you mean? They were following rules. This is what they were supposed to do. Yeah, but sometimes you have to put up a fight. And sometimes you say that, I don't care if this is what I'm supposed to do, I'm not doing it anyways. So which Chassam Sofer is this who she tossed it to? This is the Chassam Sofer with the Mapilim. This is the Chassam Sofer that said that Acher heard the Paschal, that said, Shuvu Bonim Shoivavim Chutz Mi Acher. And he went and he says, okay, if I was told that I'm not going to be able to enjoy Olam Haba, let me at least enjoy Olam Haza. But says the Chassam Sofer, Acher was wrong. He made a second mistake. The first mistake that caused the baskel, but then he made a second mistake because he should have known the klal that even though it's true you have to listen to the Eibishter, but we have a mesoira kol mash oimelucha balabayis asay chutz mitzay. If Hashem tells you to put on tefillin, you put on tefillin. If He tells you to sit in a sukkah on sukkahs, you sit in a sukkah. Be'erev toichel matzis, that's fine. Lo yisoichel kol nevela avada. All the mitzvahs in the Torah, listen. But if the Eibishter tells you, I don't want you, I'm not interested in you. Shuvu banim shayvavim abechutz miyacher. Says the Chassam Sofer, that was the Mapilim. The Mapilim, after they were told the Yidden that they're not going to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael, so there were Yechidim, Tzlofchad, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, but there were Yechidim that said, we don't care, we're going to storm anyways. And everybody learns the parash of the Mapilim that they did an Avera. What do you mean? They went against Hashem. First they cried, and then when they were told that they can't go in, now all of a sudden they want to go in. The Chassam Sofer says, it's a big mistake. They did the right thing. All the Yidden should have done what the Mapilim did, because they knew the soy that Kol Masha Oimelucha Balabayas Asei Chutz. Me say that even though sometimes you'll see in Svarim and you'll hear and Ramazan and that David doesn't want you, he's not interested in you, it's all a test, it's all in a sign. He says, the honor that Nani HaKovid told Klal Yisrael, let's go, it's time to leave Har Hashem. The Yidden should have put up a fight. Because kol masha oimelucha balabayis asay chutz mitzay. That's vayisu mehar Hashem kitina kabirech mebeis asayfer. That's the story of the mapilim. That's the story of acher shuvu banim shayvavim chutz miacher. And Meir keeps on telling him chazar bach do tshuva. I can't do tshuva. Shuvu banim shayvavim chutz miacher. Zok tchassam zayvi could have done tshuva. Because kol masha oimelucha balabayis asay chutz mitzay. But I was thinking one ha'ara. One ha'ara. It's very interesting Rashi here in Parashas Baloischa. The Pasuk says that when did the Yidden leave? Meaning, when were the Yidden, Vayisu Mehar Hashem, Ketina Kabirech Mebeis HaSefer? The Torah actually gives us the exact date. Vayi Bashon HaSheinis, it was the second year from when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, Bachoydesh HaSheini, the second month, Nisan Iyar, Be'esrim Bachoydesh, the 20th day of the month. It was Chaf Iyar, Nala Ha'anon, Me'al Mishkon Eidot. The Anon ascended from being on top of the Mishkan and was preparing itself to now leave. So when did the Yidden leave Har Hashem? When did they leave Har Sinai? When did they leave Midbar Sinai and all the other names the Gemara says Midbar Sinai had? It had Vayi Bashana Hashenis, Bachodesh Hasheni, Be'esrim Bachodesh. Incidentally, Vayihi is always a Lashon Tsar. This is a terrible day. The Yidden word, they're going to Eretz Yisrael, but they're leaving Har Sinai, right? There's two ways to look at it. So Vayihi Bashana Hashenis, Bachodesh Hasheni, Be'esrim. Says Rashi, if you do the math, Nimsas Ato Emer comes out that how long were the Yidden at Har Sinai? Shneim Asar Chodesh. It comes out the Yidden were in Har Sinai 12 months minus 10 days. They were 10 days short of being there a full year. Why? Because when did the Yidden arrive in Har Sinai? That's also a pasuk in Parashas Yisrael. Bachodesh Hashlishi Letzeis Bnei Yisrael Meiretz Mitzrayim. Bayoyim Hazeh Chazal Say Rish Chodesh Bo Midbar Sinai. So the Yidden arrived in Midbar Sinai the year they right after they left Mitzrayim, literally. 50 days later, when, or a few days before that, Rosh Chodesh, right, B'Chodesh HaShlishi, it was a Rosh Chodesh Zivan. And when did they leave? They left Chaf Iyar the following year. Had they stayed another 10 days, it would have been the next Rosh Chodesh Zivan. So essentially, they were there, Yud Beis Chodesh, Chasa Asarayav. That's what Rashi says. Now, what the significance of this is, I didn't see anybody says. So I was thinking, what's this number? Yud Beis Chodesh Kodem Asara Yom. I think this may be some Pnimius Atayra that's over here that's maybe half of a fella. A year, a Jewish year, is based on the lunar year. So how long is the Jewish year? It's 354 days, which means that 354 minus 10 is 344. It means the Yid were at Midbar Sinai for 344 years. There's a Teres Chayim in the Sechta Schulen. It's on Daf Tzadik Aleph Amid Beis, who says something unbelievable. Hafoichba vahafoichba dekulaba. He says an unbelievable yisoid. He says, the Pasuk says in Parashas Boy, Umoishav b'nei Yisrael, asher yashvu be'eretz Mitzrayim, shloishim shana v'arba meya shana. The Yidden were in Mitzrayim for 430 years. Now everybody knows Yidden were in Mitzrayim for 430 years. What exactly that Pasuk means is something the Rishonim already talk about, but it wasn't 430 years. And the truth is that if you go through all the numbers that describe how long the Yidden were in Mitzrayim, there are a whole bunch of different numbers that were given. By the Brisbane of Sar, Hashem told Avram, Yodoya teida ki ger yuzarach be'eretz lo lohem, v'avodim v'inu oisam arba me'eshana. They would be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. Then the Pasuk says it was 430. If you ask a child in Cheder, how long were the Yidden in Mitzrayim? Redu is Begamachia, Reish Talavah. It was 210 years. Chazal say that Miriam was called Miriam because when she was born, that's when Vayimaru as Chayim started. How old was Miriam when the Yidden left Mitzrayim? She was 86 years old. Moshe was 80, Aharon was 83, and Miriam was 86. But either way, so what's going on over here? Says the Teres Chaim, an unbelievable yesod. And this Teres Chaim is quoted by the Svarim HaKadoshim. Says the Teres Chaim, really, the Yidden was supposed to have been in Mitzrayim for 430 years. And that's why the Pasuk says, Moshe ben Yisrael, Asher Yashuv Eretz Mitzrayim, Shloshim Shana, the Arba Meir Shana. Because really, they were supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 430 years. But Hashem realized that they couldn't. There was no way they would survive 430 years in Mitzrayim. As it is, they were already holding in the Sharm Nem test. There was no way they were going to be able to survive 430 years. So you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did? He said, you know what? You don't have to have 430 years. I'm going to take the years that you just spent in Mitzrayim as a deposit. But at the same time, there's going to be a balance. There's an invoice. And at some point, you're going to have to pay the difference. Now, how many years was the real Vayimaru as Chayeyem? How many years was the Koshe Ashibud? Says the Teres Chaim, it was 86 years. Vayimaru as Chayeyem, that's why Miriam was called Miriam. That means the Yidden paid 86 out of 430 years. Says the Teres Chaim, if you do the math, 86 is exactly one-fifth of 430. 430 divided by 5 is 86. That's the oymek in the chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. The Yidden went to chamushim, they went after only paying up, they left a deposit. They left a deposit of 86 years, but there was going to be a choiv that they were going to have to pay off. What were they going to have to pay off? The four-fifths. Says the Teres Chaim, that's why, Bilel Seder, you know what we drink? Four glasses of wine. Why four glasses of wine? Because we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Mitzrayim, of course. But we're also thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for spearing us from four-fifths. Four times 86. What's the gematria of kois? Kof, vav, samach. It's 86. That's the remez, says the Teres Chaim, that we were speared four times 86. But the problem is, says the Teres Chaim, this is an invoice that we have to pay. And at some point, Klai Yisrael was going to have to pay up to four times 86. He says, that's the four goliaths that Chazal talk about everywhere. That there was dalad goliaths that they were going to have to pay. And even though each goliath wasn't 86 years, but the echos, it was making up for kois. It was making up for the 86. That's this chayv, that's this balance, this invoice that Yidden were going to have to pay. Says the Teres Chaim, that if you do the math, 86 times 4 is how much? It's 344. So he says, it comes out, the Yidden was supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 430 years. They had, and it was supposed to be Koshi Ashibud. It was supposed to be 430 years of Vayimaru as Chayeyim. Lamaisu was only 86 years old. Miriam was called Miriam, 86. Right? Elikim is Begamatri, 86. Midasadin. It was only 86 years old. That's all it was. 86, that's how many years it was. That means we have a balance of how much. We have a balance of 344. That means Golus is made up of 344 years. Says the Teres Chaim that in the Kriyas HaTorah of Tisha B'Av, it's also in the Kriyas HaTorah of Shabbos Nachamu, because it's a Barshas Valschanim. Ki soilid banim ubnei banim, v'noishantim ba'aretz, v'ashchatim, v'asisim, pesel tunas kov, v'asisim harab, v'ini Hashem alikecha l'achisoy. Hayu doisi b'chem, hayoyim es ha'shomayim v'sa'aretz. Ki avoy toivei domai. This pasuk describes Churban Beis HaMikdash. This is a pasuk, we read this on Tisha B'Av. This Sukkos is a Vinoshantem, Kiminyan Vinoshantem. Right, this Pasuk describes the Churban. The Pasuk says, Ki Avoy Toivedun, Klai Yisrael's going to go to Golas, they're going to be lost. Maher, fast. Mi Aloretz Asherato Ever Mesayardin Shamal Rishto, Loi Sarichun Yom Malel. You're not going to be Mayruch Yom. You know why? Ki Hishamed Tishamedun. Says the Torah Chaim, what's that Hoysafa? Ki Hishamed Tishamedun. Ki avoy toivedun is not self-explanatory enough. Ki hishamei tishamedun, it's redundant. What's the hoysafa? He says, you know what hoysafa is? Shmad is gematria shin mem dalet. It's 344 years. The Torah was being megalot to us that there's a balance, there's a chayv of 344 years that the yidden were going to have to be pereya. So it was supposed to be a moshav in Israel 430 years. L'mayisu was only 86 years. Kaminyan vayomaru as chayeh. It was 86, but that meant there's 344 years left. That's this pasuk. He shamed shmad. In one word, galus is shmad. It's shin mem dalet. The chida in his sefer Midbar Kedemos. It's brought down in the Torah Sachida in Parshas Kisisa, page shin yud. But it's in Midbar Kedemos. It says the chida a davar nifla. Chazal say, Ein lecha ben chayrin, ela misha oisik b'tayra. So what's the pshat? Ein lecha ben chayrin, ela misha oisik b'tayra. So he brings the Torah Aschayim. He quotes this Torah Aschayim. That Klal Yisrael had to go to Golas for how many years? Shmad years. Shin mem dalet. Shmad is the misfar of Golas. 430 minus 86, that's the balance. It's 344 years. Says the Chida, Moshe is begamatria 345. Shin mem dalet? Shin mem he. Ein lecha ben chayrin ela misha oisik b'tayra. You know what the gilui is? The gilui is that when a yid learns Torah, he's able to be miskaber on golus. You know why? Because he's tapping into the shin mem he, which is one more than the shin mem dalet. Ein lecha ben chayrin ela misha oisik b'tayra. In the pnimiyas ha-tayra, everything is hidden. It's merumis in Moshe, because Moshe is shin mem he, and that's the way you're miskaber on top of the shin mem dalet. Ad kan. So I was thinking, maybe that's the symbolism over here. How long were the Yidden at Midbar Sinai? The Yidden camped at our Sinai. They came by Chodesh HaShlishi, by Yoy Mazeh and Bo Midbar Sinai. And they remained, how long, says Rashi, Nimsos Abdullah. So if you want to do the back of the envelope arithmetic, it's 12 months minus 10 days. In other words, it was 344 days. The Yidden were in Midbar Sinai 344 days, maybe. Maybe the Yidden had to be at Midbar Sinai for 344 days. So like this, they'd be mekabel the Torah. Because at the end of the day, this is the refuah. This is the Elucha ben Chayrin ala Misha Isaac b'Torah. The Yidden left Mitzrayim, but they were destined to go to Golas for Shin Mem Dalet Shonim. So they walked out of Mitzrayim. How are you going to go through 344 years of Golas? How's Klal Yisrael going to survive thousands of years later? How's this going to happen? You know what the answer is? The answer is 344 days at Midbar Sinai. The 344 days of Midbar Sinai, that's the skula. That's the way that you're able to overcome the 344 years of Golas. This is the point. It was the Shin Mem Dalet Yomim, Yom Lashana, connected to 344 years that the Yidden were going to have to be. And that's the Nakuda. Nimtzes HaTolam is not just a number. Rashi is giving us a factoid. That's what this is. No, there's an oimik over here. There has to be. It's Shin Mem Dalet. This is the number. The Yidden left Mitzrayim. They're preparing now. What? This is going to be a long journey, Klal Yisrael. You have to be angezapped with Midbar Sinai. That's what they did. 344 days at Midbar Sinai. This is the way they're going to be protected. I was just thinking, maybe to put this all together, just take one leap of faith. And that is, the Chasam Sofer said that really the Yidden weren't supposed to leave. Really, the Yidden weren't supposed to leave. Really, they were supposed to stay. They were supposed to stay. And the truth is, it sounds a little bit like, had the Yidden not left, could be the Yidden would have gone right into Eretz Yisrael, and it could be our fate would have been very, very different. The whole Meraglim, everything started unraveling afterwards. In fact, Rashi brings that Moshe Rabbeinu turns to his Shver, Chayvav, Yisrael, and he says, Noisim Anachnu, Noisim Anachnu, where's Moshe going? Moshe's not supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi, at that point, Moshe was going to go into Eretz Yisrael. We know the Sfarim said that had Moshe Rabbeinu gone into Eretz Yisrael, he would have built the Beis HaMikdash, it would have never been Chariv. The Yidden would have never gone to Golas. Had Moshe Rabbeinu gone into, at this point, Noisim Anach, the Yidden are supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael, and there's never supposed to be a Golas. But what happened by Yisum Har Hashem? They left Har Hashem, and they left Ketina Kabirech Mibes HaSefer. Says the Chasam Sofer, really they were supposed to stay. Really they were supposed to stay. Maybe Had the Yidden stayed, they wouldn't have been there 344 days, but maybe they would have been there 345 days. And maybe they would have been even longer. But they would have been able to be good. They would have been miskaber. They would have been able to go on top of the Shin Mem Dalet. And the truth is, had that happened, they would have gone into Eretz Yisrael with Moshe Rabbeinu. Shin Mem Hey would have led them into Eretz Yisrael, and they would have never been a Golus. So maybe, and we'll end with this, Chazal say, Amav da Aretz. We just learned the whole parak of Amav da Aretz, Charv Yishalayim, because it is Charv Yishalayim because of that. So what Chazal say? Shloi Baruch Hu Torah Tchila. Wasn't it Shloi Baruch Hu Torah Tchila? They didn't make Brechus HaTorah. So everyone knows the Ran, Rabbeinu Yoina, who says they didn't have the proper Chashivas HaTorah. They were Ketina Kaberech Mibes HaSeif. Yeah, they weren't. But they didn't appreciate what it was they were doing. They thought maybe there was something more important than that. It wasn't a chsorin in the amount of time that they learned. It was a chsorin in their Chashivas HaTorah. Maybe there's an oimek. Maybe the oimek is Shloi Baruch Hu Torah Tchila. You know what Tchila is? Tchila is way back when the Yidden were in the Midbar, they were Leibar Chobat Torah. That's when they left Ketina Kabirech from Beis HaSefer. They were Vayisu Mehar Hashem. They listened to the Yonon. They didn't put up a fight because they didn't want it enough. When you want something badly enough, you put up a fight. You don't just take no for an answer. And says the Chassam Sofer, that was the Taino. The Ketina Kabirech from Beis HaSefer, they didn't stay. Maybe had they stayed, it wouldn't have been Shin Mem Dalet. Maybe had they stayed, it would have been Shin Mem Hey. And the truth is, it would have been Noisim Anachnu. And Moshe Rabbeinu would have led the Yidden into Eretz Yisrael, and maybe the Beis Hamikdash would have never been Charev. That's what Chazal say, the Rishonim, that's what the Svarim say. Hence, it was Shaloi Baruch Hu Torah Tchila. Right in the beginning, when the Yidden were Makabel the Torah, they left Har Sinai with the Shaloi Baruch Hu Torah. It was Ketina Kaberech Mebeis HaSefer Al Ma'av Da Ha'aretz, because it ended up being Shin Mem Dalet and not Shin Mem Hey.